I'm really excited today because I have Benny Lewis, who is a self-described polyglot and speaker of 8 languages. And this is going to be a short interview just describing how he's able to do how he was able to do that in less than a decade, and his approach to rapid learning. In particular, his new website that he has, Fluent in 3 Months, which charts his progress in becoming fluent in a language in only 3 months. So, hey, Benny, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going great, and I can say there, I do speak 8 languages, but I prefer to say that I can get by pretty well in 8 languages, because you can never really say you speak a language. It's an ongoing process, but I would, from the layman's perspective, I would say that I speak them fluently.
Well, and it's giving you a lot of advantages in your life. You currently do freelance translation work as the majority of your work, correct?
That's right, yes.
So this language learning adventure that you took on several years ago, it's really paid off both in your career and your personal life, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. See, I originally studied electronic engineering, and I was under the impression that you cannot have such a wide range of talents for one person. You're either excellent at mathematics and physics and science, or you're an artistic person, you're good at languages and so on. And I was very good at maths and science in school, and not so great in languages. So I kind of just presumed that that was the way it was for my whole life, that I studied engineering, I was going to be an engineer. But through the progress of the last few years, I've learned languages and combined them with the technical subjects I studied, and it's been extremely beneficial because it's such a specific specialization, because I translate engineering documents. So it's so specific that it pays quite well, and I can be very flexible in the amount of work and when I accept the work and so on. And it started off just as a little hobby for me, you know. It was a nice thought. I could speak a few languages someday, but now it really has enabled me to. It's the snowball effect that the more languages I've learned, the more it's enabled me, both professionally and mentally, to continue traveling and continue learning more languages.
Well, that's great, and I think you bring up a really good point about the benefits that really focusing on learning and mastering not only the skill, like the new language, but also the ability to learn new languages has really paid off for you. One thing that I think is really important to point out to people who are listening to this, which was really important to me, which really drew me into your story, is that you're not one of those kids that grew up in a household, you were fluent in 3 languages by the time you were 5, you learned another 2 at school. Some people get fluency that way, and no disrespect to them, but you started learning languages fairly late in life. Maybe you can talk a bit about that.
Yeah, certainly. So when I was 20 years old, I graduated university and I moved to Spain. And at that time, I only spoke English. And I had studied German in high school because you have to have a pretty decent level academically to get into university in Ireland. And I had also studied Irish, but I had only basically had an academic level of these 2 languages where I could read them, but definitely not speak them, more or less the same as anybody who would have gone through a high school system of learning any language. But I moved to Spain, and it was a kind of gradual process, and my story is not unique. It's something that happens to a lot of people. If you move to a country, no matter how naturally talented you may be with languages, if you are committed to learning a language and you stay in the country long enough, you will pick it up. So, but the only thing that's slightly different for me is that I've repeated the process several times over. After I'd learned Spanish, I went on to move to Italy and I learned Italian, then I moved to France, and I just repeated the process. But I've actually met literally thousands of people who've done what I've done for a particular language. Like, as you'd know, in France there, you would have run into the Erasmus students. And I hang out with them all the time whenever I'm in Europe, and I definitely had a great circle of friends with the Erasmus group, and they were going through the same struggle that I was, that they were from a foreign country and trying to learn Spanish, and going through it very slowly, but after a year, they were all speaking it fluently, and it's not actually that impressive. It's something that absolutely anybody can do.
And I think you really touch on, because this is sort of the position I'm in, I am learning, for the people who don't know, I am learning French. I'm living here in France for this year, and I'm basically the description of the process you described, someone who's moved to a new country and is learning a second language. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who are reading who are interested in doing this. And I think you bring up a really good point that learning a foreign language, becoming fluent in a foreign language, isn't limited to a certain skill set. You argue that anyone can do it, particularly the techniques that you're suggesting aren't just for a certain subset of people or for people that are committing 3 years of 4 hours a day study. This is something that is approachable for the average person, correct?
That's right, definitely. As I said, at 20 years old, I was a self-confessed idiot with languages. And if you told me then that I'd be in my current situation of speaking several languages, I would not have believed you. I was the worst student in class in German, the only language I've studied. And I don't actually speak German. This is the one language I will soon be coming back to, but because I only studied it academically and I went through the traditional process, I never reached the stage of speaking it. But if you live in the country and you see it from a different perspective, you don't look at it as something that you have to study. I don't really think of languages as a study project for me. It's a completely social project. It's all about speaking with people, and it's a means of speaking with people. So I don't see it as a list of rules of grammar that I have to learn and all of these vocabulary. I see it as a means to talk to people, to make new friends, to open my cultural horizons. And this is definitely something that anybody can do.
Okay, so going from your 20s, your early 20s, when you are a self-confessed language idiot, if I can unfortunately quote you as saying that, to flash forward today, where you speak 8 languages, whether or not you define them as fluent or just being pretty good, I'd say 8 is still fairly impressive. Speaking 8 languages, doing professional translations, and also working on becoming fluent in 3 months. Now, I have to say, when I first heard the name of the website, it sounded a little bit fictitious to me, because from my experience, 3 months to learn a language, not just to learn it, but to become fluent in it, is incredibly rapid. I know I've been learning a lot from you just from recently following your blog and talking to you a few times, but I've been in France for 3 months, and I would say I'm firmly an intermediate. Fluent is still going to be a little bit more for me. So maybe you can discuss sort of how you've been able to take the language learning process and just compress it into a period where it is realistic that you can learn it in 3 months.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole purpose of my blog is show my experiment in proving to myself that I can learn a language in 3 months. I haven't done it yet. All of the languages that I've learned have been somewhere between, for example, it's been 6 months total for my Portuguese and up to a year and a half total for my Spanish, because that was the first language. But I'm absolutely sure that I can reach fluency in 3 months, and I'm planning to do it next year in another language I'll be taking on. And so, for example, some of the things that I do, which I think would distinguish me from other learners in their methods of learning languages, is a lot deeper commitment. So as you would have seen on the website, one of the things I said that made the huge difference for me, I can actually explain now, is that I had spent about 6 months in Spain. And I was studying very hard, and I tried to take some classes, and I looked for every opportunity to speak Spanish. I was teaching English part-time, but I tried to talk to the parents of the students that I was teaching. I tried to talk to somebody in the supermarket. I tried to spark up conversations. But after 6 months, my level of Spanish was definitely not even intermediate. It was still quite basic. And I was at the stage of giving up. And that's when I made the greatest discovery in all of my language learning process, was that what was really holding me back was that I kept switching. I kept doing half of the things in Spanish and then going back to English. And, you know, it would be a hard day trying to speak Spanish. And then in the evening, I'd go to my friends who were either other English speakers or Spaniards who could speak very well in English. And I would tell them, I complain about how hard it is to learn Spanish. So I made the decision to not speak a word of English for an entire month. It was a crazy experiment. I warned everybody in advance that I was going to be trying this. And that month has literally changed my life, because it showed me, I wasn't speaking fluently after that 1 month, but something changed in my head, a little, this concept that you can speak in another language. And I mean, it seems so obvious, but it's something that holds us all back, is that to ourselves, we're still thinking of the language we're learning as a different language that belongs to other people, that we're just kind of barely able to grasp with control of, and we're kind of taking in English and translating through that language. So after this month of only doing everything, absolutely everything in Spanish, I've gone over this barrier, what I call my own language barrier, and I reached a stage where I was able to do anything, communicate anything I wanted entirely through Spanish. So that was the main thing that changed everything for me. And now in terms of my 3 months, because I think anyone can learn a language in 3 months, but it requires a very big change in attitude and a lot of sacrifices. So that not speaking English is a huge sacrifice, because you're missing out on being able to communicate your emotions and being able to relate to people. And it can be a very lonely feeling if you're in a foreign country and you're trying to speak a language and you can't fully communicate yourself. So that's a very big sacrifice. And this is why a lot of people just are not willing to make that sacrifice. They'll move to a country, they'll gladly speak it most of the time, but then they'll still have their English-speaking friends. So this is just one example of the methods I use that makes a huge difference. I never, ever speak English. I've got very, very few exceptions, like Skype calls like this one with my parents. And like everywhere I go, I kind of avoid the English-speaking expats. I'd still hang out with other foreigners, but just to maintain other languages. Like here in Rio, I've got some French friends, for example, that I speak French with a lot. But in general, I avoid English, and that's just one of the most important decisions that I've made in terms of learning another language.
Okay, great. Well, I guess maybe we could summarize your rapid learning tactic as being extreme immersion, whereas most people, including myself, I don't profess to be an expert. I'm still learning a lot from this call, as I'm sure many of the listeners are. But even myself, I know that there's quite a few people who speak English with. I speak English with my Canadian roommate here in France, so I can definitely relate with your feeling of the difficulty, but also the benefits of that total immersion. But I guess my question to you, because it's something I'm thinking, and I'm sure some of the other listeners who are maybe anticipating starting this process or in the middle of it, how do you cross that gap? Now, I know you made the commitment to only speak Spanish for 30 days, but for a lot of people, especially if you're new in a language, how do you meet people who are just speaking that language? Because obviously your social skills, your ability to introduce yourself and have conversations with people are a little bit slower when you are less comfortable with the language. How do you cross that kind of barrier?
Yeah, that's very, very difficult. This is another thing that I've learned in the last few years, is the social aspect. And another one of the most important lessons that I've learned in terms of learning a language is letting go of your ego. And it's kind of ironic, but people, you can imagine if you speak several languages, people will tell you that you're really smart all the time, but I just let all of that blow over me. I don't have a big head about it. I feel very humble, because I actually, I sound like an idiot all the time. I've got an accent whenever I speak. I'll be making mistakes, no matter what language it is. I'm doing much better with my Portuguese at the moment, for example. But in general, when I speak another language, I'm definitely not doing it perfectly. So you have to have this concept in your head that you're fallible, just like everybody else. And this is very, very hard, because you have to let go of your ego to do this. Because when it's kind of when you try to learn another language, you're trying to expand yourself. You're you know, you're trying to be a smarter person, but you have to embrace the fact that you're going to feel like an idiot. So this is one of the most important things for me, is that I know I would walk up to somebody and I'd say something very basic. When I started this 30-day mission in Spanish, I still had no command whatsoever over the past tense, because the past tense in Spanish is quite complicated. It's more complicated than in French. So I just couldn't say anything in the past tense. So I'd be kind of waving behind me and saying, yesterday I go to the cinema, and yesterday I eat breakfast, that kind of thing. And I just had to let go of the fact that I knew it was wrong and just look at it more casually. I think most of the things that I've learned in the last few years have been more conceptual rather than in terms of methods. I do have several methods, practical methods that aren't unique to me, that lots of people use them, memory techniques and so on, but it's mostly these kind of things. And I think letting go of your ego is a very important part of that.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that I would argue, in fact, the opposite, that your extreme immersion strategy is a learning method, particularly because a lot of people don't use it. And I think this is something interesting to bring up, because I'm a little bit of a fanatic when I get into things, and I've been reading a few language learning blogs, and we've talked about this before, but your extreme immersion approach is, I would say, probably not the most advocated approach for learning languages, and in fact, is actually drawing you some criticism from some other people who vehemently disagree with you. So maybe you could just explain a little bit about what makes you unique in this regard in pursuing a different style of learning languages than might be advocated elsewhere.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I do get quite a lot of criticism. I don't know, about 10 or 20% of the traffic coming from my blog is links from other language learners who speak more languages than me, and I'd say, academically speaking, they actually are better than me in these languages. They'd have a wider range of vocabulary and so on, and they would link to me saying, check this guy out, he's making all these mistakes, blah, blah, blah. But the problem is, they're looking at a language as an academic subject, and they can explain all the grammar to you, and you can ask them any word, and they'll spit it out to you. But for me, they don't actually speak the language. They can, like, there's these guys who prove that they're polyglots by putting up YouTube videos of themselves talking to the camera in, like, whatever it is, 10 or 20 languages. But they're actually reading a script that they prepared beforehand, and even though their accent is very good, it's not natural. I prefer mine to be more natural. So what's kind of unique about my method is that I'm almost completely against the academic process of learning a language. I think it's counterintuitive, because when you learn a language naturally as you're growing up, you know, as you're learning English, you don't think about the past participle of verbs and the pluperfect and things like this. You can learn them if you want a better understanding of how the English language works, but you don't need to know any of that to speak fluent English. And it's the same with other languages. I actually, one important part of my process is that I almost entirely abandon grammar in the most early stages of learning a language, because I find grammar to be a very frustrating and almost useless list of rules when you're in the early stages, because if you know the grammar of any language inside out, you still can't speak that language. Whereas if you can repeat a few phrases, I mean, even if you're just as good as a parrot, you can just repeat phrases in particular situations, you're still able to communicate, you're able to get some kind of a point across. So that's how I start a language, is I actually start with a phrase book, one of those like the Lonely Planet or the Rough Guide, and I try to learn that phrase book off to give me the typical sentences that I'll be using in basic day-to-day conversations, and I try to expand from there. And when I reach a kind of lower intermediate stage where I'm saying lots of things and they're very, very wrong, at that stage I'll actually start studying grammar, and it's more interesting because it's not just a list of rules, it's a list of reasons why things that I already know are the way they are. And it's very, very interesting when I do that. So my way is kind of a little bit reversed from the other way, is that I leave grammar for the end. I leave academic professionalism for the end. I try to start off with colloquialisms, slang. I always try to learn these things first, because my whole purpose is I want to speak with people. I'm not interested in passing tests. And I have done professional tests. I've got a diploma in French and Spanish, but I did the more academic studying part of it after I already spoke the language, and that was completely different for me compared to other learners. So I get a lot of criticism from that, because a lot of them are kind of... I do have a very frustrating relationship with these other learners, because all of my experience is from pure practice, pure in-field experience and experimentation, whereas all of theirs is from theory. And whenever we have an argument, they always reference some study done in some university that statistically this way is slightly better. And that's fair enough, but they don't actually speak a language, and they're telling me how I should learn a language. So...
Well, it's, yeah, I guess we could say that you're the perfect example of your own philosophy, because you've applied it so thoroughly. But I think one point I want to try to touch on a little bit, because the whole point of this program, which the people who are listening to have signed up for, is to implement these kind of methods. Now, you've given some steps, namely the extreme immersion and stuff, and I think there's some people who are really going to dive in and do it. But I think my question is, and this is something that I'm feeling too, and I tend to be set pretty bold goals myself, is that going 30 days of complete immersion is very, very intense. And I'm not suggesting that people don't do it, especially if language learning is important to them. But maybe you can suggest, are there any alternate ways you think that would be a sort of intermediate step for someone who's thinking, you know what, I want to apply some of this immersion tactics. Do you think that there's some way that you can apply it in maybe a stepwise fashion? So for the first month, you try to do this. Second month, you try to do this. Or do you think it's an all-or-nothing gambit?
Well, if you want to become fluent in a very short time, like 3 months, it has to be all-or-nothing. But if you wanted to do it in 6 months or a year or something, if you're comfortable with spreading it over a longer time period, yeah, of course, you can do it in a less intense form. So I know some people who travel as a couple, for example, and they've told me that they absolutely, at night time, when they're going out in the town, they want to speak English, and as committed as they are to learning a language, they feel they have to relax, because otherwise they're not going to be enjoying themselves so much. So what I suggested to them was to have a very particular timetable each day in terms of just speaking languages and doing certain things always in languages, and then leaving themselves the freedom to do things in English. So, for example, they would only speak in the target language until 8 p.m., and they would not let themselves do anything in English. And then as soon as... And the advantage to that, compared to my method, is that you actually have something to look forward to during the day. You can speak the language and try hard, and you can get very tired, but at least you know that in a very short time, just another hour, and then you can relax, you can speak English again. Whereas it's a lot more stressful if you're doing it for a whole month, because 30 days is a very, very distant time when you're doing something so intense. So I definitely recommend that. You can apply lots of things. Like, you don't have to necessarily travel. My whole thing in pure immersion is obviously that you have to be in the country. But I have other ways of learning and improving languages without ever going to the country in question. So, as I said, for example, here in Rio, I'm constantly practicing my French and definitely my Spanish, because there's a lot of Argentines here in Rio. But in general, if you're in any country in the world, you can meet up with people, both natives and other learners, who can show you that they're also enthusiastic about learning the language. I remember I wrote a post, for example, saying that you don't have to travel. There's all of these sites, like, for example, there's Couchsurfing, where you can meet up with foreigners traveling through your city. You can host them, or you can just meet up with them for a coffee or for a weekly meeting with several dozen people. And there's also meetup.com, which is especially popular in Canada and the States. And I suggested that on my website, and one person who had been commenting before, who was generally skeptical and critical of my method, because it was only possible if you can travel. And of course, people will come up with lots of reasons why they can't travel and so on. But she wrote a comment on that post, and she said that she's very, very pleased because she went to meetup.com, and it turned out that there was a weekly meeting of people in her city in America who are enthusiastic about Italian. And she is now every week going to that meeting with a good 10 or 15 people. They're not native Italians, but they all speak just in Italian in the meeting. And there's something to be said about speaking a language with non-natives, because it takes a lot of the pressure off. And when I started learning Spanish, I'll admit that most of the time that I was speaking Spanish in Spain was not actually with Spaniards. It was with the Erasmus students. I learned nearly all of my Spanish from French and German and Italian students who were also learning Spanish. And because their level was a lot closer to mine, I didn't feel embarrassed when I was making mistakes and slowing things down, because they were also making mistakes. And it's a lot, you feel a lot less pressure when you can relate to other learners. So, you know, you can have a less intense version of what I'm doing if you were to devote particular times of the week to speaking just in the language. But my whole thing is that it has to be about speaking, not learning. I'm not saying that you should devote 4 hours a week or an hour a day to sitting down at your desk with your lamp and opening your grammar book and going through it with a highlighter pen. My whole point is that no matter what stage you're at in the language, you should try some form of immersion. And even if that's just for an hour a day or 4 hours a week or whatever it is, you should try to meet people and see the language alive. And even if that's just watching TV, which is more input-based, which is kind of against my process, but it's still something. It's still seeing the language alive. And this is important, because if you're just studying a list of rules, you might as well be studying mathematics, which I love mathematics myself, but a lot of people don't, and they just see it as a boring list of rules, and they shouldn't see a language like that, because a language exists for communication purposes. So no matter what you do, no matter how much time you devote to it, it should be about that. It should be about the practical aspect to it, and not the theoretical and the study aspect.
I think just to comment quickly, because I think a lot of the readers right now who are a lot of the listeners who are going through this program are going to be thinking in terms of 30-day trial method, which is something I really advocate, and you've also picked up on as well in doing your 30-day experiment in Spain. But I think that there's a lot of ideas that you threw out there that could be incorporated into a 30-day plan to kickstart your language learning habits, such as partitioning certain activities of your day to only be done in the target language, or as you said, the couple targeting a certain time of day to only do in the target language. I think all of those are probably, for a lot of people, a little bit more bite-sized introductions who maybe are a little bit too afraid or concerned about going with a complete immersion route. But as you said, obviously, for the fluent in 3 month school, you really have to have that high level of intensity.
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of ways you can do it. I mean, for example, I explained that you can have your computer interface entirely in a foreign language. And what I like to do when I'm starting a language is I like to learn little things that I would say to myself in voiceovers, like, oh, damn, I'm out of milk, or where did I leave my keys? And whenever I'm saying these things to myself, I try to say them in the language. I try to force myself to think in the foreign language. And this has the interesting consequence that if you do this all day long, you will actually end up dreaming in a language. People ask me this question a lot, do you dream in a foreign language? And if you spend your whole day thinking in a foreign language, and you can even do this in a city where theoretically there's nobody who speaks the language that you want to learn, there's no opportunities to practice it, you can still, in your head, do everything in that foreign language. If you have a journal that you keep every day, you can write it in that journal for what you've been doing that day in the foreign language. Your computer can be the language. You can write your shopping list in the foreign language. So even if you can't do it with another person, you can still make the language something alive to yourself. And this is definitely something that can be done in bite-sized form.
Hey, thanks for listening to this interview with Benny Lewis. I have another section of the interview coming up next month, where Benny's going to be talking about how he learns languages holistically and some of the holistic learning techniques that he's applied to learning languages, what Benny feels is the number one obstacle for language learning, how Benny has become more social on his path to learning languages, and how he feels social skills play a role in the process of learning languages. And finally, Benny's going to talk about an interesting project he's working on right now in his stay in Brazil to take his immersion beyond fluency to the next level. So I hope you're going to stick around for next month while I'll post that second half of the interview. It's about half an hour. I should give you some even more advice for how to learn languages rapidly and become a polyglot like Benny.